Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you guys for listening, for downloading, for sharing the show. It's the only way the profession knows about it is from you guys. We want to thank you there. One more way we like to say thank you is every once in a while we like to pair up with an organization that is doing good things. The Multiple Myeloma Research Foundation, they hate cancer just as much as you and I do, and they're doing something about it, and that's called research. We know the importance of research within this field of physical therapy, so help us out. Maybe you can drop a dollar or two in the bucket and help us reach our goal of $2,500 as we donate for the Multiple Myeloma Research Foundation. You can do it online securely. Right there is a 501c3 organization, so of course you get those tax credits, which is always good. On Facebook, on our Twitter pages, at PT Pinecast, you can see the information. Throw us a donation. We'd be forever grateful. Now, let's get on with the show.
I mean, when somebody has a stroke, it's a whole social circle around them, from the poor stressed out caregiver to the rest of the family and the neighbors that helps that person get back on their feet. And then clinically, it's quite a diverse team that pitches in, from the acute stroke folks through the rehab folks, of which there are many, many stripes, all the way out to chronic care. And this also pertains in the research world too. The team I get to work with is folks from all different backgrounds, and it's putting our efforts together that I think really yields the best results so far.
Today on the show, talking to a neuro researcher, MD Stephen Kramer. He does research into rehabilitation after stroke, and he loves PT. So of course, wanted to have him on the show, but we wanted to get into what his research is, what it does, and what it shows, and of course, where is it going to go next? So appreciate his time on the show. I think you'll learn a lot if you work with any patients with some neuro diseases. Want to thank Owens Recovery Science for sponsoring the show, the single source for PTs looking for certification and personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it. Find them online at owensrecoveryscience.com.
Broadcasting to physical therapists around the world. Heard in over 135 countries with more than 1 million downloads and counting.
This is
the PT Pinecast. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
Next on the show is Dr. Stephen Kramer, a professor of neurology, anatomy, and neurobiology and physical medicine and rehabilitation at the University of California, Irvine. He's also the clinical director of the Sue and Bill Goss Stem Cell Research Center and the associate director of the UC Irvine Institute for Clinical and Translational Science. Dr. Kramer, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Excited to have you on. Read a lot about the stuff that you get to do, but besides that introduction, which is more than a mouthful, you've got a lot going on right there. Describe for the audience what you get to do and what really excites you about rehabilitation.
So I'm a stroke neurologist by training, and we see folks when they come in the hospital with their new stroke, and when things are really, you know, in a lot of ways, just at its worst. And in my career, what I've tried to do is understand, why is it that some people have spontaneous recovery and others don't? What are the mechanisms going on there? And what can we throw at it, or what magic pixie dust can we sprinkle on the brain to help people get more function back?
Yeah. I heard you talking in a video, and you used that term right there exactly as you did, just pixie dust. And another term that another phrase I heard you use in that video is, it takes a village. And that really is what kind of drew me in this show to talking to you, is you see stroke recovery and its wide varying degree as really a village.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to express that, but I understand and agree. I mean, when somebody has a stroke, it's a whole social circle around them, from the poor stressed out caregiver to the rest of the family and the neighbors that helps that person get back on their feet. And then clinically, it's quite a diverse team that pitches in, from the acute stroke folks through the rehab folks, of which there are many, many stripes, all the way out to chronic care. And this also pertains in the research world too, which we'll talk about. But the team I get to work with is folks from all different backgrounds. And it's putting our efforts together that I think really yields the best results so far.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at some of your goals, some of the things that you wanted to accomplish. And one of them was to identify biomarkers of brain plasticity for motor improvement. Am I right in saying you're looking for what actually causes person A to come to rehab and get better, and person B comes, and what's the difference between A and B if person B doesn't actually recover to the same level? Am I correct in thinking that's what you're looking to do with those biomarkers?
Yeah, spot on. But also, not only to predict, but to understand what's going on so that we can learn enough to change things, to really get a look under the hood and understand what's going on using measurements that are accessible and that really inform the questions we want to answer better.
I feel like this is an area of medicine and rehabilitation that that can move either at the speed of light or at a glacial pace. Where are we right now in 2018 in terms of, that's one of your first goals, identify that biomarker. Where are we right now and how are you trying to do that?
Right. And of course, it takes a village. It's a research village. There are people, good people all over the world who are really attacking these questions. I think that we have 2 decades, maybe 3 decades, of some early results regarding biomarkers. To use some jargon, people used, you know, positron emission tomography, PET scans early on. Functional MRI came out, and we did some initial studies trying to understand the players. I think we understand many of the cast of characters now, and what we're trying to do now is really put these measurements to the test and see if we can organize clear research projects that test how well these assessments can or cannot answer specific questions. So we've moved from rounding up the usual suspects to really putting them on trial to see what we can squeeze out of them. And I think things are going to move faster and faster as we start getting answers to those questions.
Dr. Kramer, where were you when I was taking neuroanatomy? I love how you put that. You know, figuring out, you're rounding up the cast of characters, now you're putting them on trial. I like how you're speaking in a language even someone like me can understand. I like that.
And even I can understand. But that's actually a Bogart quote, round up the usual.
Love it. So that's one of your goals, identify those biomarkers, and we're doing that, especially with that global village that you mentioned. How about developing rehabilitation tools for brain injury? That's another passion of yours.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways that might be meant, but I'm going to focus on one.
Sure.
I'm talking about tools for treatment. And by brain injury, I'm lumping traumatic brain injury and stroke all together here. Mm-hmm. What can we do in terms of treatments to say that what the doctor or therapist or nurse just did is going to result in that patient having a better outcome than if the doctor slash therapist slash nurse did not do that? Here we're at an exciting but still early stage of things that we can try. We can talk about some of those if you'd like.
Sure.
There are good ideas waiting to be put to the test for small molecules and drugs, for growth factors, for certain kinds of stem cells, for brain stimulation, for monoclonal antibodies, robotic devices, telerehabilitation, and more. There's just a lot of exciting ideas out there at various stages of development. That's really taking off as we're starting to get a clear signal of how to go about asking these questions.
Yeah, and you mentioned telerehabilitation, and that's kind of how we came across you. We found the UCI study showing in-home therapy effective for stroke rehabilitation using a telehealth system and supervised by a licensed OT-PT was an effective means of improving arm motor status in stroke survivors. Please talk about that, because I know that excites physical therapists that hear this show on a bunch of levels.
Well, we've done 3 main studies so far. The first one I think you're referring to was published last year, and we found that when we gave patients 28 consecutive days of arm-based motor rehab, they come into the lab, they get examined, and then they spend 28 days at home with the device that we deliver, and their arms improved. In half of them, they improved by the minimal clinically important difference. So we weren't going to cure anybody's arm weakness post-stroke with just 4 weeks of therapy, but right, at least half the subjects moved up a functional level, and they could open a doorknob or put on their shoes or so forth. We also, I was actually an internal medicine doctor before I was a neurologist. So we look after the secondary stroke risk and stroke education and depression screening and blood pressure. So we try and take care of the whole patient. And in doing so, found that we were able to make gains in that regard as well during the 28 days. And we take the keyboard with us. So this is an appliance, not a computerized device. People didn't have to know anything about computers in order for this to work, which is why we had 98% compliance with assignments.
Wow.
We did a second study where we put a real fun game system in the home where a projector shoots different images on the tabletop, and the patient has to use their stroke arm to kind of manipulate those images. And when they do, a camera detects it and changes the images. So imagine, like, you're supposed to roll the egg, and if you hit it too hard, it splats. And then you're supposed to take a sponge and wipe it up. And if that doesn't happen, the ants come out, et cetera, et cetera. We did games in that kind of spirit for a week and showed we could make people better at certain visual spatial tasks and that we could use EEG to predict gains with very specific circuits.
Wow.
But
yeah, who knew that, you know, more rehab was going to be better? And if you combine that with actually making it fun, they're right, going to do it more.
Yeah, but there's still skeptics out there.
Sure.
So we have to prove things in definitive terms. We took a good step towards that. We just completed an 11-site national U.S. trial. It was funded by StrokeNet, which is a clinical trials stroke network inside NIH. And we were the lead of the 11 U.S. sites. What we did is we took 124 subjects who were on average about 4 months post-stroke, and we gave them 6 weeks of intensive therapy targeting the arm. Half had to drive into clinic 3 times a week and do homework 3 times a week, like usual. Mm-hmm. And half, we had them come in for a live assessment again by a licensed therapist. And then they got 6 weeks of dose-matched, intensity-matched therapy at home with our gamified telehealth system, where the therapist would Skype in, not Skype, but a video, a HIPAA-compliant video conference network, VC. Sure. And at the end, we hypothesized that, A, 6 weeks of boot camp for the arm would do good things, and it did, and B, that when you looked at how well it went with therapist-supervised telehealth methods, that would be at least as good as the in-clinic traditional method, and it was. We just presented this work in Sweden 3 weeks ago, so it's not even hot off the press yet. We have to submit that stuff.
Wow. Now, what were the sort of rates of compliance? Were they higher, I'm guessing, but I don't want to guess, in the video conferencing group?
A little bit. From memory, the video conference group was closer to 95%. The in-clinic group was closer to 90%.
Okay.
But the fact that the in-clinic group was 90% in a field where patients with chronic stroke traditionally have 50 to 65% compliance, it tells us we were dealing with a very motivated crowd that may not be representative of answering that question.
And these results, exciting on a couple different levels. You're putting together a lot of different things that we'd like to see result in. You're talking about gamification, you're talking about tele-rehab, you're talking about increased dosage of therapy to show outcomes. A lot of different moving parts here.
Yeah, let's throw into the mix accountability.
Sure.
And measurability. And with more devices, it's very easy to measure more things. And feedback, and the opportunity to improve patient insight into their condition. Education, and ultimately, we'd love to build out modules for caregivers, modules for vision and for the leg and for dizziness and for urine and for et cetera. There are so many ways to expand here, but we see the number of moving pieces as just more opportunities, not bewilderment.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of different directions you guys can take this information that you're learning. We'll, of course, put a link to the studies and some follow-up information in the show notes of this episode if people want to follow along. Another one of your passions is trying to understand variability in motor function. Talk about that.
Sure. Boy, you know, everybody's so different. Everybody's different before stroke. The kinds of ways stroke can punch the brain are so very different from one person to the next. And then the way people deal with it afterwards is so different. And so when we want to understand what's going on, we realize we have a lot of complexities that could thwart our efforts to use a single type of intervention to improve things overall in a complex population. So we're always looking for ways to understand how the gears are spinning. I can tell you that bedside behavior, that is to say the final clinical phenotype, is a very limited marker for what's going on in the brain. And if your treatment is intended to change how the brain functions, as most rehab and most of the restorative therapies I listed are, you want to know what's going on in the brain and how you affected the brain. When we use bedside exam, we're really limiting ourselves. And so we and others have done studies showing that MRI measures of brain injury to the motor system, say motor cortex injury or corticospinal tract injury, are substantially more informative as to what's going on and can I make it better than any behavioral assessment you can do at the bedside. And similar for brain function. If you use functional MRI or some of our new EEG methods, we can get a sense of what's going on in the brain with regards to can I make this person better, far greater than what we can learn from bedside exam. Do you know, the field of rehab and triage into an inpatient rehab facility is still very much based on bedside exam. And so ultimately, I'd love to see these measures that distinguish patient state at the biological level have an ascendant role in medical decision making.
Very, very exciting. Like where you're headed with that. Last thing I really wanted to bring up was one of your passions, which is promoting stroke education and awareness. Very simply, maybe trying to have people understand it better to hopefully prevent and reduce the instance.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Folks who've had a stroke, so often studies show they lack knowledge on just basic concepts. I mean, not that every patient with every disease in the book knows everything about it, but in stroke, I think the problem is particularly severe. Patients really don't know much in many cases about causes of their stroke or of a recurrent stroke or the risk factors or risk factor control. Some studies, folks don't even know what a single sign or symptom of stroke is, even though they just had one.
Yeah.
And so the low-hanging fruit is very low-hanging. So one of the things we try and do in the lab is look for improved ways to educate patients and their family members so they know what's going on.
Yeah, trying to prevent that. And that's a role that, you know, in particular, the audience that listens to this program, physical therapists, are very, very passionate about and always looking for new and more effective ways to get that information, that education out there to the general population. Love that.
Yeah, it's part of treating the complete patient, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned at the top of the show that caregiver or the other people in the village that make up that care team, making sure everybody else not only has heard the message, but really seeks to understand it and knows how they can affect it.
Yeah. I think so. I think that's important. We like our gamified methods, and I think modules for all concerned parties is the direction that we want to go.
Love the PT Pinecast?
Yes, yes.
Support the show by telling a friend or by leaving a review on iTunes or Google Play.
Be a leader in advancing patient outcomes with the APTA's Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry. You can leverage your EHR data to benchmark outcomes without added data entry. That's right, there's no additional work. You'll be able to optimize your practice with easy-to-use reports, market your practice to patients, payers, and referring physicians, and maximize payment. It's the only nationwide registry building integrations for PT practices, regardless of what EHR you have. Sign up for a demo now at ptoutcomes.com/go.
That's ptoutcomes.com/go.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry, brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
Let's do this! Back to the PT Pinecast with Jimmy McKay.
Dr. Kramer, are you ready for three questions? I don't know if we prepped you for this properly.
Three questions?
Three questions.
I'm used to four questions. Let's hear your three questions.
All right, here we go. So our sponsors is Aureus Medical Staffing. They find physical therapist jobs anywhere in the U.S. If you could go and do some work in telehealth rehabilitation, do your stuff anywhere in the 50 U.S. states, maybe somewhere where you haven't worked before, where would that be?
Well, I think I'm a lucky man because the first answer to the question is right here in Southern California.
Yeah, that's tough. That's a tough place to beat.
But, I grew up in Philadelphia. I love it there. I love the summers and the wet mud and the creeks and the forests and the weather and the storm. I love Philadelphia, and I'd love to be there if I could, too.
Love that. Excellent. Well, they can find your position, physical therapist positions there anywhere in the U.S., especially in the city you brotherly love. And I think they just won a pretty big football tournament not long ago. Am I right?
Not that long ago, but they're going to have to call my wife on this one, though. So it's a team decision on that one.
Sounds good. Second question. What's something that you've read recently that really inspired you?
I'm reading this biography of Beethoven, and who I would rank as my favorite composer of all time. And boy, the adversity he faced, and yet he just kept going and improving. It's inspirational.
Yeah, I was never really into biographies, and then I kind of tripped across one. And now they kind of intrigue me, looking in behind the people that you think you know, especially in history, historical figures. It's usually even more interesting than the story you do know.
Yeah, a good historian can really tell you about the past and really the future, too. I think that's why I enjoy it.
Last question. Who is somebody else in the field of rehabilitation, maybe in your village of studying stroke and how to prevent it or how to rehab it, that the audience should know more about?
Oh, boy. I could rattle off a few names.
Go for it.
Somebody whose work has taught me a lot, I'm really impressed with, is Kathy Steinier out in New Zealand, physical therapist out there, works with Winston Byblow. Gottfried Schlaug, Beth Israel, his work is in many ways similar to mine, but different enough to teach me things. Tom Carmichael and John Krakauer just came out with a new book that's worth reading called Broken Movement, and two real sharpshooters in the field. I learn a lot from Steve Wolf and Carolee Winstein on physical therapy and activity-based interventions. I think I could go on for an hour, but those are some of my heroes.
Well, love that. No, that's a pretty good list. I always ask that because I'm always looking at who I'm supposed to talk to next, and I figure if I'm inspired to talk to one guest, asking them who they're inspired by is a pretty good way to find out who to ask in the future.
Any of those folks will learn you up something proper.
Sounds good. Last part of the show, we call it the parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
Brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offers continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, six PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as
well as challenging but rewarding student internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what the IHL can do for you and support your professional development. Go to brooksihl.org.
It's a chance for you to give one more piece of advice or one more sentiment for the audience to hold on to. Maybe as the audience here as physical therapists who are privileged enough to work with persons post-stroke, what's the parting shot that you'd leave for them?
The future has never been brighter for our field to do better and better things for our patients.
Love it. Dr. Kramer, professor of neurology, anatomy, and neurobiology out in California, thanks for rubbing that in. We know the weather's out there is outstanding. So appreciate you taking the time out to talk with us. And we look forward to more from the future of your work.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Jimmy.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Hey guys, the Movement Maestro here, letting you know that Rock Tape is so much more than just a tape company. We are a movement company. Move stronger, longer with the world's best kinesiology tape, topical pain relief, mobility equipment, and protective gear. But that's not all. Learn from the best with our industry-leading continuing education courses. Want 20% off your first product purchase? Head on over to shop.rocktape.com and use the code PTPINECAST. Again, for the folks in the back, that's shop.rocktape.com and enter the code PTPINECAST. Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape, the movement industry's new standard for education.
PT Pinecast supports Go Baby Go,
a national community-based research, design, and outreach program that provides modified ride-on cars to children birth to age 3 who experience limited mobility. Founded by Cole Galloway from the University of Delaware. For more information about how you can build your own cars or start your own chapter, visit udel.edu/gobabygo.